Dr. Anahandi will talk with us today. So please, guys, the survivors, please stay. Just let me introduce her. She's an assistant professor in the Biological System Engineering program in the College of Agriculture and Food Science at Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University. She works with water and plants and impacts on environmental changes. Thank you, Anahandi, for your patience today.
Thank you, Anna. The topic of my presentation is usefulness of remote sensing information in developing climate change adaptation strategies using system model for effective decision making. I'd like to acknowledge my funding agency, NSF NRT, as well as the USDA NEFA capacity building grant. And I also like to acknowledge some of the participants who are waiting, patiently to listen to the talk. Thank you. So this is a broad outline. I would start off with a little background information and start off, and the next part would be about adaptation strategies and how some of the remote sensing inputs can be used, and the brief background of the remote sensing inputs are also discussed in the earlier talks, and finally the conceptual model and how we can utilize some of the inputs in that modeling framework. So I would briefly discuss about SISTA only, and for more information you can go and refer to this article, which has more elaborate details on the concept. So I come from the premise that change is constant, so we need to adapt and mitigate, and we can use satellite remote sensing data can be a useful tool for this concept. Just to be clear, adaptation I refer to as the adjustment in the ecosystem management in response to actual or expected climate stimuli or the effects, which moderates harm and exploits beneficial opportunities. Depending upon the degree of change and the level of adaptation, we have three types: systems adaptation, incremental, and transformational. If we have very little change, then we go in for incremental, and the other end of the spectrum is a transformational, where there is a complete change in the adaptation. So systems is a group of interrelated components integrated to behave in a certain way and or serve certain purposes, normally under constraints and or external influences. So the term systems and components can be interchanged. So a system can be a component of a larger system, and a component can be a system with smaller components. And here you have some inputs into the system, outputs are there from the system, and there are feedbacks which goes back into the system. All this happens under an environment, and it can be an open or a closed system. So for example, we have the inputs here, that could be the data, that could be measurements, or it can be survey information. And the system can be developed using, can be represented using processes, and can have multiple components, and they are represented using models and indicators. And the outputs could be the potential adaptation strategies. And the feedback from these strategies can be input into the system, and the environment could be a changing climate, land use, water use. So traditionally we think about events A, B, C, D. We have the straight, we think in straight line, which is event based, and then A and B leads to C, C leads to D, and that is the event based thinking. And we can think of systems thinking which has a bigger picture thinking. We think in a loop where A leads to B, B leads to C, C leads to D, and D leads to A, and then there are other loops around. One example is the photosynthesis loop, where you see that plant is growing, and then with more plant growth we have more stem growth, more leaf mass, higher photosynthesis, and then it increases the growth. So it is all in the same direction, and we call it a reinforcing loop. Whereas if you take more plant growth, there is more root mass, there is also nutrient uptake, and it leads to more leaf mass. And this is also another reinforcing loop. And if you're looking at this balancing loop where there is more nutrient uptake, if there is more nutrient available, and if there's less nutrient available, the uptake is less. So this is, in the opposite direction, and it has a balancing loop. With this background on adaptation levels of adaptation and systems thinking, we will go into the adaptation strategies, methods, and this is a summary of methods. So you have variables which we can measure from the remote sensing, or we can use measurements or survey measurements, and then we have models which represent our agroecosystems systems, and that is called the top-down approach to develop adaptation strategies. And then we have the survey information, farmer decision, survey information from the farmers, decision makers, and we come out with adaptation strategies. So that is a bottom-up approach, and a hybrid approach combines both. So then we can also look at the three systems in terms of adaptive management as a system by itself, climate system or agriculture system, or combine them together as one system and represent them using variables, which are further represented using indicators and models on one hand, and then you have the concepts like vulnerability, adaptation, mitigation in the other hand, and we try to translate these variables, indicators and models to come out with, translate them into concepts. And depending upon, if you take the variables, indicators, models and concepts as the four nodes, we can have four pathways depending upon which node comes up. So if we have variables and concepts, just variables and concepts, then we would have a pathway. And if we include all the four nodes, we would have another pathway. And depending upon three out of the four nodes, we would have the other two pathways. So when we look at all of these methods and the way we look at it, some of these indicators and some of the variables are already discussed in the earlier talks. So we can come out, we can use the leaf area index, rainfall, evapotranspiration, temperature, land use land cover map, and soil map. These are some of the inputs that we can use in developing our own variables, estimating variables, estimating the indicators, and also running some of the models for adaptation strategies. So we have around three approaches, the top-down, bottom-up, and the hybrid approach, and we can see it as three systems, agriculture systems, climate systems, or agriculture management system, or can see them as a combined system with multiple components, and we can also look at it in four pathways. So this is the SISTA conceptual model. It has different layers. The basic layers are the measurements, or the basic information about biotic and abiotic elements information. It can be survey information, it can be measurements, and it can also have information from our satellite images. From that, we estimate indicators, and we can look at some of the indicators that I have put here is frost, growing degree days, but we also spoke about stress degree days and NDVI and other indicator, vegetation index can also come up here. And then we come out with the adaptation strategy. And the indicators, the component level, can have multiple layers. So one indicator can be estimated from the other, and it goes on. So this represents the triple complexity of the ag systems, agroecosystems in a changing climate. And this can happen at multiple spatial and temporal scales. So the steps is you first identify the study region, you select a subsystem, and then you find out what are some of the variables that you want to look at, and what scale spatial and temporal scales you are interested in. Then you estimate and identify and estimate the indicators and come out with the strategies. And then we can finally develop the causal loops. So this is just a couple of examples are there. I'll just stop with one example. So here we have a minimum temperature, maximum temperature, and threshold temperatures. We calculate the frost day, and then from that we calculate the last spring freeze, first fall freeze, and growing season length, and we calculate the season length, growing degree days. which gives the different stages value, and then we can come out with adaptation strategy depending upon how they are changing, whether we are planting end days earlier or end days after, are we harvesting end days later on, and how long is the growing season length changing, going to change by end days. And this initial results that I would show, it happened at a point scale because we had station data, but then we can also interpolate it to a farm or a county level. And we had used daily data, and we can use it at a sub-daily, or also we can use it at a larger scale. But some of the frost indicators we would need at a daily scale. So these are just some of the trends that we saw in a study region, and I would not go into the details, from which we developed some of the days, how the changes were happening over a period of time. So here we have variables that we can get information from, like rainfall and ET, or also temperature, which make we can get. And then we use these models. When we use the models, we can use the land use land cover map and soil map, and some of the indicators that we can get from here. So the causal loop that we can develop is from climate, we have changes, we can observe the changes in temperature, which can translate to the changes in the minimum temperature, which then affects the frost, and then the frost can affect the spring freeze and the fall freeze, and depending upon that change, the growing season length would change, and we can come out with adaptation strategies like early or late sowing, early or late harvest, or are we going for a different crop variety. And these all have an impact back to the climate. So with this systems thinking approach, we can look at some of the complexity and multidisciplinary aspects. So I just looked at some of the indicators and biophysical indicators, but we can also look at economic and social indicators to get a bigger whole picture. And if you look at it, the blue color among the four pathways is where the SISTA is useful for. So there are other potential indicators. So there is always uncertainty about what is the right indicator, which we had a number of discussions before. And depending upon the type of indicators that we choose, our adaptation strategies or the values can be impacted. So we have to be careful about that. And this is again, for example, if you're looking at the growing season length, we had just used minimum temperature and spring freeze and fall freeze. But if you look at moisture and if you look at other constraints, then the growing season length would change. So with this background, I would like to leave the summary slide, and I'm open to questions. Thank you. Have I tried using this model for near time forecast?
Or for extent, with you got data up to today, can you?
One thing is, when we look at those trends, we can project those trends. That is one way we can look at it and come out. But a near time, I have not tried it.
Many of the adaptations that talk about, and if we pick first freeze and last freeze as an example, those are relatively variable. Of course, precipitation is highly variable on a day-to-day basis. So my question is, what time length do you think is reasonable to determine if those things are really changing and in which direction?
can we go back?
Yes. So if we look at it, there is a lot of variability even at a particular time. So you can see this variability here. This is the, among the 23 stations, and over a period of time you can see. And this is for Kansas, and you can see during the Dust Bowl period. It had a very different pattern and compared to, and the variability for the current, up to 2009 this data was. So yes, there is a lot of variability, and also about how you choose the indicator, how you define a frost. It also, you know, varies. So there is a lot of uncertainty in it. But if you look at the, some of the traditional methods they use for adaptation strategies in the top-down approach, we just, use 1 week, 2 week. It's just a number. So this gives an approximate range of values. And I would suggest that, you know, we use a range of values to get a better picture of how it is changing. And also include some vulnerability. How vulnerable are these plants to it? So we can see, from the past, we can take some analogies and then we can apply it here.
Yes, we can. That is where the remote sensing data can be useful. And one of the things is, some of the tools are available in UF. Dr. Clyde Price, he has some tools on growing degree days and other things. But if you look at those tools on a day-to-day basis, we can apply that. And some of the indicators we can estimate on a day-to-day basis and see how it will look at. So if you combine, spell indicators in this, it can give you a slightly different picture than just looking at temperature-based index.